This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. We're in May and it's New Zealand Music Month. I've got a few memories for you this afternoon. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. History hits May 3, 2026, and New Zealand Hit Parade, May 3. We look back at 2025. Politics, Gary Schofield, petrol prices. We also look at ship movements and club rugby before 2 with Dwayne Porter and Trevor before 2 o'clock. On Free FM, the weather says today it's short and sweet, fine and light winds. Tomorrow, fine apart from possible early morning fog or frost, returning at night, so it's going to be a foggy night tomorrow night, and light winds. Sun rose this morning at 7 o'clock, sunset tonight at 5:31, and we'll come up again at 7:01 tomorrow morning. In town at the moment, it is 16 degrees at the moment, 16 degrees, and that's about the weather at the present moment here at Free FM 89.0. While going through the Waikato Times this week, I found a story that the police had a plan to not deal with mentally health unhealthy people in the city, trying to get it out. People with mental health issues in the city, they were going to leave them to it. They were not going to do anything about it. Well, that's been changed. That plan has been put on hold, and so it should be after what happened to me on Clyde Street just around nearly 11 o'clock this morning. I missed a bus on Cameron Road, and they had to go to Clyde Street to catch the Orbiter. I saw this man sitting on the other side of the road, and he got very angry when he was refused to get on the... Well, the driver refused him to get on the Cambridge bus. So he ran after the bus. He didn't catch him. The bus driver kept going, and he threw his bag. Then he came over to the other side of the road, and as he got on the Meteor, he started having a go at me for no reason at all. Oh, I'm going to do something to your partner or girlfriend. Well, sadly, I told the guy, don't have a girlfriend, don't have a partner. So he's missed out there. He used the F word a few times and then got on the bus, and I just gave him a big wave. This guy has a history of bad language. I've seen him in the transport centre abusing his girlfriend or wife or whatever. She just walks away. And the law has spoken to him a few times. If you want to know what he looks like, I don't know his name. He's tall, he's skinny, he's got long black hair, a beard, and he's angry. So keep out of his way. An angry guy we don't need in the city. And if the police think they're going to get rid of the dealing with mental health patients, they've got to think again. Our security in the city must be number one. Don't forget it, police. You are meant to look after the people in this town. The police have been found wanting over the years. So hopefully they won't take it away. They've got to deal with everybody, whether they're mentally ill or healthy. 1-3-2-2-4-2-2 go. May 3, 2026. 1935 in New Zealand politics, Prime Minister and member for the King Country, Jim Bolger was born. He died in 2025. With UK politics this day in 1979, Margaret Thatcher, the UK's first woman Prime Minister, elected after the election.
Got to leave your seat, gotta get up on your feet, gonna move you to the rhythm till you never can
1921 this day, Ireland partition under UK law, becoming Northern and Southern Ireland, commonly called AIR. This day in 1934, Frankie Valli of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and Jersey Boys was born. He's 92 today.
My eyes are told you, though I never laid a hand on you. My eyes are told you, like a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I had.
2021 this day, in R&B, Lloyd Price dies.
My love to you, over and over, what more can I do? Over and over, my friend says I'm a fool, but over, over, over.
1951 this day, the Festival of Britain, attended by the King and Queen.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable.
And it was this day in 1903, singer, Academy Award winning actor Bing Crosby was born. He died in 1997. So let's remember the one and only Bing Crosby.
Oh, my name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul.
Oh, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns, they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee toodles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Right now we are rehearsing for a very swell affair. The annual celebration, all the gentry will be there. When General Grant to Ireland came, he took me by the hand. Says he, I never saw the likes of McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee toodles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
My name is Uncle Julius and from Sweden I did come to play with McNamara's band and beat the big bass drum. And when I march along the street, the ladies think I'm grand. They shout this Uncle Julius playing and with an Irish band. Oh, I wear a bunch of shamrocks and a uniform of green. And I'm the funniest looking Swede that you have ever seen. There is O'Briens and Ryans and Sheens and Means, they come from Ireland. But by Yemeni, I am the only Swede in McNamara's band.
Oh, the drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes to play. And Hennessy, Tennessee toodles the flute and the music is something grand.
A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Love it. McNamara's band, the one and only Bing Crosby. It's 10 minutes to one in the News on the Hit Parade, chart.org.nz. History and Song, May 3, 2025. Protest in Dunedin against a New Zealand First Party bill defining men and women based on sexual biology. Locations, Dunedin's Octagon. The rioters, sorry, well, there could have been a few rioters. The protesters numbered around 400. The bill was later withdrawn from our New Zealand Music Fast on New Zealand Music Month. Talking about women, here is Alison Durbin.
Tender, his hands like my daddy's were, and a mind that understands, and the arms that held me when I was crying, the lips that kissed away the tears. They're a part of the man that my mama loved, and I have loved. Like my mama did, I have wed me a man. I can still feel the warmth of the words he said. He had my heart tied in his hand, and in the morning I would wake by his side and wonder what I could have done.
Love Me a Man, song from Alison Durbin. She later, of course, got into serious trouble in Australia with drugs. Have no latest information on her. Anyway, moving on, and it's time for New Zealand music. We remember a guy called Larry Morris. He was part of a group called Larry's Rebels back in the 60s. Larry Morris, he got into serious trouble with drugs, as did Buddy Walters and Tommy Adderley. Their stories throughout New Zealand Music Month. And after leaving Larry's Rebels, Larry Morris recorded his first solo single. And what did he do? Well, he took a song that was a big hit all over the world in 1969. This is Larry Morris.
Bouncing.
band who can't help doing this. The original version of Bad Moon Rising, CCR. Before that, we had Larry Morris. It was his first solo single back in 1969. More New Zealand music coming up, but here's a New Zealand connection with records. Back in the 60s, the NZBC had a policy to censor records. Yeah, they did it to a lot of records, and one of the most famous coincidences was censoring a Beatles song. There was to the NZBC, the one word was offensive. The word was Christ. So, without further ado, they took the Christ out of the song by adding an extra drum beat or doing something with a needle or something on the record. And, of course, another plan by the NZBC, following the advice of the BBC, was to put yellow lines through records they deemed that weren't good enough. They shouldn't be played. The old BBC had a long-standing policy of censoring records and not playing this record and that. But the NZBC doctored the ballad of John and Yoko. It's 1 o'clock. And we can play the song, and it's the original song.
In the dock of Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the match says you've got to go.
Honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown called to say you can make.
Yeah, Paul McCartney on drums. Ringo wasn't around to do the Ballad of John and Yoko. Yes, the NZBC, in its wisdom, used to censor records. There's more stories like that. 3 minutes past one, New Zealand Music Month. And coming up, we got the theme because the NZBC also ran television at the time. And we'll remember one of the great television programs, Black and White Psychedelia. I think you know what show I am talking about. But first, folks, we've got some old TVNZ news themes. One of you remember some of these.
So the NZBC called it the NZBC Newsreel.
From Point North, East, West and South, we present Television Newsreel.
The Presbyterian General Assembly meeting in Wellington today spent more than 5 hours debating the controversy over the resurrection and the reaffirmation of the Church's faith. This afternoon, this...
The aftermath of tragedy. The inter-island steamer...
Mainland China is to get a seat at the United Nations.
Oh, Dougal Stevenson and Bill Toft here at Free FM 89.0. Time for an ad break.
Dim golden crumpets, oh, dim golden crumpets. I had one for my breakfast, I'm gonna have one with my tea. Oh, dim golden crumpets, oh, dim golden crumpets. Pop them in the toaster, a treat for you and me.
Oh, yeah, golden crumpets could do with a few this afternoon, 5 past 1 o'clock. Let's go back to 1966. Yeah, Peter Sinclair and Kevin Moore teamed up to do...
Everybody there had a happy celebration. Music loud and strong on your radio station. Yeah, can't let it toast, it will never stop. The music coast to coast, gotta stay on top. Woo! Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Party's gonna grow, it'll move to your sound. You better tell your friends and spread the news around.
Yes, the Carlisles, led by Herma Carlisle. They were a family of Island Pacifica Mormons. And that's the Come On theme from 1966, 6 minutes past 1 o'clock. The Ernie Rouse Trad Band.
Wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody, nobody, nobody wants to die.
I'd like to be an angel and live up in paradise, where everybody's happy and the weather's always nice. I'd like to make the trip, it's true, one thing isn't fair. They tell me they're not selling any round trip tickets there.
And everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody, nobody, nobody.
miser and a penny-pinching crank. They dying of starvation with a fortune in the bank. His doctor said he'd soon be dead. My uncle said, oh no, if I cannot take my money with me, I refuse to go.
And everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody, nobody, nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Oh, nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody, nobody, nobody wants to die.
Yeah, the Ernie Rouse Trad Band from 1968. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. One of the strangest records that came out in 1971. I think it fell foul of the NZBC also, who controlled what we heard on the radio at that time. They censored records like The Ballad of John and Yoko. And I think they had issues with Timberjack. On New Zealand Music Month. Thing, wasn't it? That is Timberjack. I think they later became Timberjack Donahue, and that is Come to the Sabbath. Sounds a bit Jethro Tull. It's from the album called Black Widow. Ah, I think it's now time for another ad break.
Go for it! Cheer up! go for Gerard and your roof is looking good.
Natural colours and the unique Gerard look.
Go for
Gerard and your roof is looking good.
And go for the Gerard Mediterranean look.
Go for Gerard. Go for Gerard and your roof is looking good.
John, that's a great roof.
Gerard.
Yeah, caused a bit of strife for Sir John Rawls, of course, and that is the song, well, the ad for Gerard Garage Doors or something. Sir John Rawls there, 40 minutes past one. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon. Cat Alekian is a fermentation biotechnologist born and raised in the United States but living in New Zealand for 14 years. Is there any particular reason for your leaving your homeland, Kat, back in 2012?
Yes, it was 2012, and that's during the Obama years. I did not leave because of politics at all. I love to travel. I love living in other places. And I had visited New Zealand in 2007 when I happened to be living in Singapore. And New Zealand immediately shot to the top of the wish list in terms of where I wanted to live next. But I was open to pretty much anywhere. And for better or for worse, New Zealand isn't really a hotbed of biotech and sciences in the field that I'm in. But things worked out. I was connected with a startup company in Auckland that needed somebody with my skill set, and one thing led to another and landed myself in Auckland in April of 2012 and have never looked back.
Are you glad you never left?
I've never left New Zealand. Yes, I'm very glad to be here, and I do have to confess I moved to Australia for about 6 months but came back, and I'm here. And I plan to stay here really for the rest of my life. I don't intend to move back to the U.S., certainly.
What is your accent? Because which state of America, all 50 states, which of the 50 states do you belong to?
I grew up in the state of Colorado,
which has
a very neutral accent. In fact, a lot of the national newscasters in the past, I don't know if this is true anymore, would try to model the accent of Colorado, Wyoming, the Dakotas, because it's a very neutral accent. And I can easily slip into other accents where I've lived in the U.S., but I am Colorado born and raised.
Of course, that's John Denver country, Colorado.
It is, and I did not get to meet the man, but my father did meet the man once. So, yes.
Well, I'm going to line up a John Denver song shortly for you. Skiing is popular in Colorado. It's where the rich go to ski.
It is. And I am not one of those skiers. My mother was convinced that we would end up paralyzed. So neither my brother nor I had the opportunity to ski beyond a couple of times. And I am very bad at skiing, so everybody else I grew up with, they were avid skiers, but not us.
From this distance, you have a different perspective, potentially, on American politics. You became intensely interested during a phase of your life when you were representing the American Democrats living abroad. How did that transition happen for you, Kat?
The transition into Democrats abroad was almost natural. When I was in the U.S., I was very politically active there, taking positions known as a precinct captain, and that won't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but it was a position in the state of Iowa where I was living at the time that rallied people to go and vote in the caucuses, which are the first steps. The caucuses and the primaries are the first steps of the presidential nomination cycle. And prior to that, I would volunteer for campaigns. I did move to New Zealand saying, I am leaving that behind me. And I think that lasted all of about 4 months. And then I stumbled on the Democrats Abroad group in Auckland, attended a few of their events, and people saw that I was going to be unable to say no when they asked me to step up into a couple of leadership positions, and that grew into a much larger position, being responsible for the entire Asia-Pacific region of Democrats Abroad. And Democrats Abroad is an official arm of the Democratic State Party in the U.S. So we're not just a club. We have a say in the operation of the party, and we get support from the party as well.
All in all, not just this election, but any that preceded it, seem to be occasions that somehow have more razzmatazz than our politics do. Do you think ours is any of the worse for that?
No, I am so glad that the razzmatazz has not infected New Zealand politics any more than it has. And I think a lot of that boils down to the amount of money that gets poured into U.S. Cycles. It was in the billions in 2024. And yes, of course, it is a much larger country and it's a much different system.
And
but the amount of money that gets into it is absolutely absurd. And our cycles tend to start the day after the previous presidential cycle. You have people lining up and already visiting the early states to try and make their mark and stake their claim and get their name out there. And that's not necessarily the case here. You have your perennials. I don't think Winston Peters will ever retire or get out of politics, but it is quite different.
Now we see a president creating precedents right and left. It's changing the face of America. Are you feeling nervous about where it's leading?
I think the time for nervousness has passed, and I think I'm into a fairly despondent phase. The changes and the policies of this administration will not be undone with a new president or a democratically controlled Congress. I will call it damage. I know some people who support what the Trump administration has done see it as a benefit, but I do see it as severely detrimental to so much of the progress that we had made and the directions that we were going. You can't just come back and rehire the hundreds of thousands of federal employees who were unceremoniously fired.
Yep.
You cannot undo the environmental damage that this administration has now put us back on course to do. You cannot just come back and try and rebuild the limited social safety nets that we already had in the U.S. in terms of Medicaid for healthcare for the poor.
Yeah.
And food stamps for the poor. That doesn't just come back with a snap of the fingers. The money is gone.
I think. I'll let you carry on.
Oh no, I could go on for ages. So please go ahead.
I think part of the problem was bringing in Elon Musk and this bunch of university students to take down Medicare and all those other things that were in place to help people, the poor people and people on food stamps, etc. Those kids were brought in, and I just don't know why Elon Musk, thank God he's out of the administration, but Elon Musk did a lot of damage to the American infrastructure.
I cannot disagree with that, and the way that it was done with, as you said, university kids who, first of all, had no right to access the information that they had access to. I don't know what's happened to my sensitive information that the government has. Who knows where that went? But to try and run the government or approach the federal government like a startup company, and that's kind of what I felt it was like. And I've been through multiple startup companies where you do have to make some brutal decisions, but you are not impacting the lives of hundreds of thousands across a country. You are not setting in motion the direction of a country for decades to come in a startup company where you've got to make some brutal decisions quickly and maybe without all the information. Move fast and break things. That's one of the mottos of, I don't know if it's Google or Facebook or even Twitter or Musk, but that's how they approached it. And you can't unbreak a lot of these things.
It's been a wake-up call for the European nations to accept America's evident withdrawal of interest in that particular zone to which they belonged since the world wars. Does that disappoint you?
It does. We live in a global society. We can't just, by we, I mean any person, any country, any government can't just stick their heads in the sand and say, well, we're withdrawing from the rest of the world. I am worried because these alliances, even if they survive the Trump administration, there is always going to be that question. Well, can we rely on the U.S.? What happens in the next cycle? And if they get another Trump persona in office, I think the damage to America's reputation and ability to be that leader in the world is done. And I'm sorry for that, but at the same time, I am very heartened by the likes of Canada, Mark Carney in Canada and Australia, and the other middle powers, as Carney called them. Now they see that America cannot be relied on the way it had been in the past, and now they see a clear path forward. What needs to be done? It will be a long haul, and it will not be perfect and free of bumps, and it will be expensive. But I think this is ultimately a good wake-up call, and Europe, Australia, yep, Canada, other aligned countries can start to stand on their own feet.
I look at New Zealand. Poor Chris, our Prime Minister, he seems to be aligned with America on Israel. You've got Keir Starmer, who's falling apart. I don't think he's going to be British Prime Minister for much longer. These two leaders, they don't know which way they're going.
No, they don't. I, of course, pay far more attention to New Zealand politics living here, and I'll be very curious to see where the election goes in November here as well. But I do think Luxon is a bit out of his depth. I think he has some very strong coalition partners who may be walking over him in some areas. And, I don't know the inner workings of the National Party. I don't know if he's going to survive till November.
Yep.
We'll see.
I'll make a call here. I think we'll be having an election before November, because what went on this week with the TVNZ reporter Mikey Sherman and Lord Burr and running around Parliament, which she probably didn't meant to do, but what was some of the National MPs flailing around trying to avoid the media because there was a rumour that Luxon was going to be dumped? It's bad for media, it's bad for the country when you've got, as I say, a CEO of Air New Zealand as a Prime Minister and politician, and you've got to give it to 80-year-old Winston Peters. He's got his finger on the button. And I don't know about David Seymour, but this coalition is in trouble at the present moment.
I don't know that I have anything more to add to that, but I think it is in trouble, and I don't think it's good for New Zealand to have such a troubled coalition, so the sooner something can be done, the better.
Kat, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We're going to play this John Denver song because you've got links with Colorado. So he's a Colorado boy. He was flying a plane when he crashed, and this is one of his biggest hits. Thanks, Kat.
Thank you.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life can't forgive me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. With the work's all done and the sun set low, pull out the fiddle and rosin up the bow. Kids are all asleep, so we'll keep them kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but Lord, if my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I can take some of the fiddle. I'll be nothing but a funny, funny fiddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo! One of them bunny hungry fools. Rather have a fiddle and a farm and tools. Thank God I'm a country boy. Gap city folks driving in a black 17. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty keen. Thunder can tell you now exactly what I mean. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the fiddle. I mean nothing but a funny, funny fiddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Close to his side, said live a good life, play fiddle and pride. Thank God you're a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to battle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. Taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny fiddle.
Hey, the late John Denver, thank God I'm a country boy. It's New Zealand Music Month and time for another ad break.
Broke my denture, woe is me, what shall I do?
Take it into Mr. Geddes and he'll fix it just like new.
What's the address, what's the address? Hurry please and tell me do.
Top of Queen Street on a corner and the number's 492.
The late Pat McMinnon. That dentures ad went around 1ZB for so many years. And, of course, 492 is not the street number. It's the phone number. It's 28 to 2. Time to talk to... Gary, who are we speaking to, Mel?
The capricious president, whom Congress evidently can't control, seems set on prolonging the war over Iran. Donald Trump, understandably, is wary that advancing any closer, the Persian Gulf could provoke by Iran's hypersonic missiles could result. Big losses, American lives. How do you see it? Gary Schofield.
Hi, Mel and Bruce. Always good to talk. And thank you for that denture ad. That actually brightened up my day. So on a more sobering note of predicting the future or looking at the geopolitical and military situation in the Strait, he's calling for us, right? New Zealand, for Australia, for Canada, for France, for Britain, NATO countries, to assemble a fleet to breach or to open the strait. Now, that is a very risky idea. However, here is how it could work, and I actually think the opposite. I think that President Trump would be happy to end the war as quickly as possible, but he needs a way to do it. He needs an off-ramp. The trouble with, and by the way, I did predict that oil would go to 120, which it has now, and that was before the war. I made that prediction. I thought I would at least cite one prediction that is correct that I made. But at the moment, we in New Zealand should, according to a Green Party spokesperson, have a parliamentary decision of whether we're going to add ourselves to a war. And I do agree with that. And also, I believe that we should have done that with the war in Ukraine as well. But we have a situation now that a diplomatic assembly, together with diplomacy, I'm stressing this, could pressure Iran to make a better peace proposal. Also, the United States could improve their peace proposal, because what is missing, if I understand this correctly, is that there's no promise that the U.S. or Israel will not attack Iran again next week or the week after or next year. So they want a guarantee of that to end the war officially. And, of course, as you know, Trump wants a guarantee, or if not a physical handing over, of nuclear material. So I do still see this as a resolvable situation. I still also see it that if we had a huge armada of ships from the rest of the world, it would actually be more of a diplomatic, because as soon as you start doing anything militarily, as Mal has pointed out quite accurately, hypersonic weaponry means that any ship, especially with Russian targeting, that's what has been alleged, and accurate targeting of modern warfare would mean that any commercial ship could be destroyed, and doesn't matter what kind of system you have to intercept that, hypersonic missiles travel at many times the speed of sound, are very difficult to intercept. So here is how I see it. Just summing up, I do see that we do need a diplomatic scene. There's an economic blockade of Iran, and Iran is making the strategic gamble that the rest of the world will suffer enough and it will be able to maintain its weakening and broken economy further into the future. That gamble would be offset by the rest of the world getting together instead of tearing each other apart and insulting each other. So that could be a resolution for diplomacy with that. My assessment and perhaps recommendation.
Talk about diplomacy. King Charles III, at the joint session, he left the president in the dust this week. Something like this.
Iron Curtain, what do you believe the special relationship is now, and how binding it still is, or is it somewhat bygone?
Well, the special relationship has been redefined in every generation.
A bit from CNN there that talks about the relationship between Britain and America. And I think, as I said, King Charles left Donald Trump in the dust with some of his jokes. They were good. He's a good diplomat, as His Majesty. Are you there, Gary?
That, if I may?
Yeah.
So, King Charles, as you know, has spent his life very much concerned with our planet, very much concerned with the effects of climate change, very much concerned with plants. I would just like to make the observation that the war in Ukraine threatens us all if it gets out of control, and the best way to deal with it would be to negotiate an end to it, which President Trump has been instrumental in trying to do. But this war is a war where each side is blowing up the other's oil reserves on a daily basis. So you're having a situation that is causing an ecological catastrophe, if not for the world in terms of climate change. I would have thought that Prince Charles' personal view would not be subsumed by what he said, which was the important thing for him was to support, you know, that would be financial and military support for Ukraine, which would, in fact, prolong that war if you're not careful. So I wondered who sets his agenda, because royal figures have no political power when it comes to countries. And yet he is presenting a very strong political opinion to President Trump, who, you know, by the way, President Trump kind of responded by saying he's like the best king ever. I love them.
Does he still harbour ambitions to annex Greenland?
I think so, yes. I also look at the situation, and this is quite remarkable, and we've had this many times in terms of how is Trump's power? Has it been usurped? Is it taken from him? Is he still able to wield these trade threats? And, well, he seems that he is, because he just tariffed 25% of European cars. That's a massive thing. And coming back to the point of alliances that have been forming, and this is in punishment for these kind of alliances, you've got an alliance with Canada, and you've got Denmark forming an alliance. That's a military alliance, if I understand this correctly, over the defense of Greenland, as you pointed out. Well, this can tear the fabric of NATO. And I do, for you know, in terms of the assessment of the policies of Trump, if he remains a powerful leader with the support, at least political support, that he currently has, yes, I think he wants Greenland, because it is an important military vulnerability for the United States, as he sees it. So this is going to have to be some sort of collision. Somebody has to give way, and Trump now, as you just noticed, is that he's pulling military units out of Germany. He says, as a punishment to Tusk, as a punishment for what has been said, as a punishment to policy that he sees Europeans not stepping up to what their job should be. So I see this as a very dangerous situation. I've explained this before, because these massive fleets have been taken from somewhere. Why did it take weeks to assemble a fleet? Because they've come all the way from Asia. Yep. So Asia is our sphere, and those are there to balance and offset military power of China. Once you start unraveling the fabric of what we've got, it can be very dangerous for the world.
Gary, the man who taught Donald Trump all he knew knows about politics is the late Roy Cohen. Of course, he was with the McCarthy era. He was McCarthy's lawyer, if you watch those pictures. That is where Trump got all his rubbish that he talks about and how he treats people, etc. You can blame Roy Cohen on that.
Well, actually, and I also want to follow up with something that you mentioned we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that was Pam Bondi.
Yep.
So you remember we were discussing what would be the future, what would be the new Attorney General, how things would look. And I mentioned, you know, you're careful what we wish for. So Todd Blanche is the new man at the top there, and he has gone after Fauci's advisor, David Morins, if you know that story, about the COVID issue, where Morins has been indicted that he allegedly falsified government records and very serious and deleted them as well. And that was ostensibly in this indictment because of the lab leak, and trying to hide the fact that the lab leak existed and trying to pretend that it was a natural occurring source of that virus. And, you know, I would just like to add a personal comment, because with my connections, I was already aware of that, the great likelihood in 2019 with my friends in the business. And I lost friends because I even suggested that was the case. This was when New Zealand was pitted against New Zealander. And very sad, you know, and you have to sometimes ask, is the misinformation actually coming from the government as misinformation coming from other people?
Before we go, just got to mention Jim Comey, who's been indicted again for putting seashells on the beach with a couple of numbers.
86, right, at the 86-47 issue.
Yeah, I think the court's going to laugh it out of court. It is ridiculous and stupid. He won't be indicted.
Maybe, but 86 does mean kill in military slang.
Yeah.
And it does mean kill in, in police slang,
yeah,
or FBI slang. So, yes, you could be right. And again, it depends a lot, depends on politics, but it could be laughed out of court. But just saying, it started with a menu, 86,
yep,
means remove.
Yeah,
but it's come to mean, and look, Agent 86,
yep.
Agent 86,
yep.
Get smart.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we've got to go, mate. We'll catch up with you next
week.
All the best to Stuart. Anyway,
oh yes, I'll pass that on to him especially.
Okay, time for a bit of music before we speak to Russell Armitage. Ron Goodwin conducting the NZB Symphony Orchestra, or the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. This is not the Ron Goodwin version, but we'll take a bit of Port Oral. And that is from Amari Choir there. Good afternoon, Russell Armitage.
Good afternoon.
You've done what you doubted you might, and that was write another play.
Well, before I say anything, I just want to mention a couple of films at the Lido. One, of course, is the one that everyone will know about, the one on Hamilton Gardens with the rather grandiose title of A Time Traveller's Guide to Humanity. Now, the opening day had three sold-out sessions, and it's very fine. It's beautiful. No matter how many times you've been to the gardens, you will see views that you will not be able to see by a physical visit because they're taken by a drone and from areas that one can't go to view certain aspects of the garden. It's not a perfect film. I had a few issues with some of the dialogue and the soundtrack, but that's okay. As a friend in Wellington said, it was beautiful, but a bit rough around the edges, which is a shame because it could have been perfect. But it's a fine film, only an hour and a quarter, and beautiful to see. Anybody who loves the Hamilton Gardens or gardens should see it. Now, the other film I think some of you will have heard about, which I thought was a magnificent New Zealand movie, and it's because of the period we're in around Anzac Day. It was its launch was held until Anzac Day, and it's called Sergeant Hane, who was a member of the Māori Battalion, involved in some extraordinary activity and operations in the Western Desert Campaign from 1941 to 43. It's a beautifully filmed, beautifully told, exciting, moving, and as a result of what was in the... And it's actually also filmed on location, on the actual rock pinnacle with the village on top that he scaled three times. So it's a very fine film. But in it, I was interested in looking up what was called the Long Range Desert Group, which I hadn't heard of, I have to say. But I checked on Wikipedia, and the Long Range Desert Group was called a British unit, but it actually was made up of entirely of Kiwis. And they're the ones that actually were the foundation and the support for the British Special Air Service, SAS, which was featured in a TV series called Desert Rogues. And so that was quite a revelation.
Was Monty involved with this long-range desert group? Was Bernard Montgomery involved with this news? Because he was in that area too. Was he involved with this group?
Could be.
Or Freiburg?
Well, it was entirely made up of New Zealanders, yep. And they were chosen because they could fix things because of their farming background. They were practical, and they were really the ones that provided most of the logistics and intelligence and support for the Special Air Service. And the other thing I just saw just now at the Lido has been a glorious short for a new restored version of Gone with the Wind. And I have to say, the photography looks absolutely stunning.
It was good in its day, the photography. I know. It cost a lot of money to...
It looks as good now as anything I've seen in recent years. I was astounded at it. The colour quality and the scenes, the big battle scenes and so on, and fire scenes were wonderful.
And the story behind it was Clark Gable's teeth, Vivian Leigh, and who would play Scarlett O'Hara?
Vivian Leigh, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, of course, they even thought of Lucille Ball playing that role. And also there was a Superman in there. George Reeves was part of the supporting cast on that movie too. Yeah. So
watch up. And the other thing that's coming, of course, is another great lineup of films for the French Film Festival, including one which will be outstanding about De Gaulle. And that will be fascinating. But there's a lot of good films. And you can get your program at the Lido or go online, of course. And just while we're on about the current week, on Friday, the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra will be having their first concert at our glorious new regional theatre, the BNZ Theatre. There's no point telling you now because it's sold out, which would be the first time the NZSO's had a sold-out concert in Hamilton, I would think, for 20 or 30 years. That's really exciting. I am going, needless to say, and that'll be thrilling.
Oh, it's all interesting. I went past the new theatre last night and people were eating and drinking and having a good time last night. Yes. So that's how it should be.
Yes, there are still very serious issues with the CBD, and talking to a range of businessmen this week, there's a long way to go before it's resolved, and the council planning department and councillors need to really deal with this in a more proactive way and listen to those that know what's going on.
I'm sick of running into the criminals on the street and everything else, and they're trying to get money out of you. And the council did promise about 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, it seems to me having opened up a super new community centre in Pukete, which the people there will benefit from, I can't see why they can't open up some sort of hostel for street people.
Yeah,
and get serious with it, and provide a facility which these people can go and sleep in and stay there all day. That's the only way you'll deal with it. And they need some form of supervised accommodation.
Yeah. Like last night, they were sleeping outside the library, and I don't know what mess they had to pick up outside the library this morning, but it's no good. Hey, Russell.
Yes, that is it.
That is it.
Oh, okay. Oh, don't forget my own play, Czech Gambit, is now online booking at the Meteor. Just look at the Meteor. End of June, rehearsals have started. It's going to be excellent. Mm. It was first performed in Prague in 2023, and it's now on for Hamilton to watch. Czech Gambit at the Meteor.
And what was it that drove you to writing that play?
Well, it was commissioned by the, funnily enough, by the International Chess Festival in Prague. It isn't about chess. It's about a Czech grandmaster, his early life up to when he was 23 and he escaped when the Russians invaded. It's about really the game of life and how you deal with adversity and difficulty, and full of incident, which this man went through up to his 23 and then became very famous in the States. So that I was a purely chance commission, like my other plays, or a chance encounter, and the Czechs loved it, and I hope it'll go down well here. It's a story about life, and it's a true story.
Last word from Clark Gable.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
This is Ron Goodwin and the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, the Aotearoa theme. It is time to catch up in a very quick word with Dwayne Porter this afternoon. Afternoon, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, troops.
We were worried about the vessels that might be bringing fuel to New Zealand.
Yep.
Without which our economy would crumble pretty quickly.
Yep.
How's it looking from the long view that you are able to form from the reports of the ships?
Okay, we had one arrived in on Friday, and she came in from Marsden Point, and then she arrived into the mouth, and then she's gone straight back to Singapore to pick up another load.
In a hurry, if New Zealand gets its way.
Well, at the moment, Mel, we've got another one arrived in that came in from Marsden Point, and she's at Port of Tauranga now, and she'll be going straight to Port of Tauranga, the port of Nelson. On the 12th, we've got another one coming in from Nelson, and that's going straight to Wellington. And then on the the 16th, we've got one coming in from Malaysia.
Well, sounds like a lot of petroleum to be delivered.
Yes, there is a lot of petroleum. And at the moment, we've got sitting out there at the moment, we've got five container boats, one fertilizer boat, two log boats, and two kiwifruit boats. Plus, there's going to be another 17 on top of that coming in overnight, which are going to sit out there in the roadstead.
That represents quite an accumulation of vessels.
Well, it does actually, Mel, because what is that? What's happened is that the all the wharf are getting full, and like Korea are getting their stuff now. They had to wait for a long time for the boats to come in from over there to here to get a load and then go back over again. And then there's another one sitting out there. That's the one that's been sitting out there. That's been sitting out there for the last 4 weeks. And they haven't, they have to do a turnaround because there's a motor problem with it. So they've got to take it into the wharf, unload it, and then put it up on the dock and that.
Yep.
And then the cricket, once they finish, they'll take it back in, load the thing up, and then it'll go straight over to China.
Well, that's it for today. Sorry, we've got to move on, but we'll get Trevor in a seat. This is the theme to New Zealand's first soap opera, Close to Home, which began in 1975. As part of New Zealand Music Month, this was a show that was before Shortland Street. Even had actors like Bruno Lawrence in it. Yeah, that is a theme from Close to Home at Free FM 89.0. And the last word for today happens to be Trevor's talk. Hello, Trev.
Hello. It's that time of the year again when it's duck shooting. Now, I'm very much against that. And I was watching TV the other night, and they're building a ramp out onto a lake for people in wheelchairs so they can shoot ducks. I think myself, if I had my way, I'd have them protected like native birds. I see them down at the lake there, a mother duck with the young ducklings following them in the water. What a sight. I mean, most of the year you're not allowed to shoot ducks. Why not make it complete and protect them? And I'm watching a wildlife documentary, or not so much a wildlife, but a veterinary documentary on TV in the UK, where a duck got caught up in some wire. They rescued the duck and took the wire off it and put it in a rehabilitation area, and then when it was fully recovered, they released it back to the wild. I mean, compassion on one hand and a gun on the other. I think they should really look at protecting them like native birds. Yep.
Well, as a young boy, I witnessed people going out duck shooting on the farm. It was part of farm life. So, yeah. Anyway, you had a good week.
Oh, not too bad, actually.
Anyway, thank you for coming in again on a cold Sunday afternoon. Temperature's dropping a bit. Oh. And I think the last word on New Zealand Music Month has to go to this man.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.